50 years, WBAI has been your go-to for independent, non-commercial, free speech programming. It's time to speak up for WBAI. Join the WBAI family as a BAI buddy in the name of your favorite show today. Go to give to, that's the number two, WBAI.org. Give to WBAI today. Be heard.
Thanks to you.
Thank you.
Thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
This is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smart his guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
I'm thinking that it's about 5 a.m., and you're listening to All. Too bad the right wing and the Supreme Court couldn't get stranded in outer space. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
And we're going to talk about various things in this program, and you can find out a little bit more about them by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left side of your screen, and at the top of that, it will say latest back of the book program links. Click on that, and you will get to the webpage for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 182nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing those things on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. The top story in every underground multiverse for this past week is on Twitter. We have dropped another one, and we now only have the gigantic total of 123 followers on Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called now. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, July 10th, 2024 at 7 p.m. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has a website, and the CDC website seems to be saying that the death toll in America for the past week from COVID-19 was 80, which is the lowest it's ever been. The summertime hot weather is probably a major factor there. It's broiling hot through a lot of America, so that could be it, plus a lot of stormy stuff happening. That means also a lot of humidity, and this is an infectious disease, and it travels through the air. So it's something that humidity will affect. By what happens is the virus particle meets water vapor in the air, and it gets weighed down, and it falls. So that's what happens with that. Radio's Pickles of the North and I are not wearing our masks as much at this point. And we are thinking about waiting for the new booster vaccinations to come out in the fall in order to get one. And the annual Christopher Street Liberation Day March, also called the Pride March, happened this past Sunday. And I didn't march in it this year again. I said I wouldn't be able to. I'm just not in any shape for marching these days, and I'm really not in shape for standing around for hours waiting for my contingent to feed into the main march. And I found it, we saw it on TV, and I found it infuriating that some Hamas supporters blocked the march. And it's been reported that the police let them block it for 45 minutes. They waited till the march came to a choke point on Christopher Street, and they jumped in front and sat down and said, oh, you know, the stuff they say. Geez, you know. I wonder how many of the people there were gay or lesbian, LGBT plus. I don't know, but if they were, they certainly aren't paying attention to what Hamas does to gay people. They're not even paying attention to what Palestinians do to gay people, to LGBT plus people. In Palestine, it is, well, people have reported from the Middle East. And the thing is that it's bad. In Israel, they beat you up and push you around, and it's very bad news. In Palestine, they kill you. Oh, yeah, lovely place over there. I really dislike both sides in the current war. And, yeah, for the Palestinians, it's a part of their culture to have what they refer to as honor killings. So, oh, no, somebody in our family is gay or lesbian or bisexual or trans. Oh, no, we can't have that. It messes up the honor of our family. So the only way we can do anything about that is to murder the person. And this happens. So, yeah, so they wanna demonstrate to perpetuate that. Wow. Anyway, that's bad news. And it's been reported that the police let those people block the march. It was just a handful of people. They let them block the march for 45 minutes. And the march had to end prematurely because of the thunderstorm that came. Not too different from the thunderstorm we're having here while we record. And so, because of all of that, I'm not sure that the groups at the end of the march actually got to go on to the march route. They may have never gotten to actually march that route. And I just bet, that those groups at the back were movement groups. Yes, the very groups who have made it so that there is a march kind of get pushed to the very back, and when there's a screw up in the thing and everything slows down, they suffer. And so this is terrible. I mean, you know, 45 minute delay, and then they cut it off because there was a thunderstorm. Crap. Oh, very bad news. And I am displeased with the Hamas supporters. Now, once upon a time, I was in with the group that used to run the march. In those days, it was called the Christopher Street Liberation Day Committee. And we remembered it was Christopher Street stuff. And so I was, for a while, the head marshal of the Christopher Street Liberation Day Committee. And we had to watch out for people doing things at the front of the march. We had various things, and not necessarily always just at the front, but the front was the big vulnerability. And we did have things like one time one of the marshals got hit by a hit-and-run driver at the front of the march. We're trying to cross the street, and bang, this guy barrel-asses along a side street, hits the person, doesn't, you know, do giant damage, but he did have to go to the hospital, and zips down the side street. Was this just, you know, another drunk driver or somebody who just drives like that? Or was it a homophobe who wanted to try and kill somebody gay? I don't know. But one of the people in the march, one of the marshals, did have to go to the hospital for a minor injury. So we had that. And we had, I remember the bicycle creeps. We had, for 2 years, we had people coming to the very front of the march with bicycles. They wanted to ride their bicycles all over the place, and they especially wanted to accumulate at the front of the march and ride around at the front of the march. They were a group or anything. They were people who wanted to ride their bicycles at the front of the Christopher Street Liberation Day march. And we had to deal with them, and, you know, there was some escort and stuff like that, and making it very clear that this was really not acceptable. They were very adamant that it was their right to do this, and we were very adamant that, no, you're going to kill somebody, you idiots. And so, as I said, for 1 or 2 years they did this, and dissuasion worked, as I recall. The big one was when a bunch of people who wanted to become bigger deals in a Democratic Party, in 1980, there was a group called the Coalition for Lesbian and Gay Rights, which started out as a coalition to, you know, try and help do stuff with the civil rights bill that we had before city council. But their main thing became trying to become big deals in the Democratic Party, which they never did. And so they tried to hijack the march. We had a march, you know, we were running things, and this crowd of people with some others got together and said, we want to divert everybody to a part of Central Park that we'll control, and we'll give them speeches and tell them to show up at the Democratic National Convention in New York City, and we'll be the big stars. And so the rest of us are saying, wait, we've been planning this, you know, all year long, and we're going up to us, you know, to Central Park, and it's not you, it's a whole bunch of stuff. There are many people. And no, they couldn't be a part of that. They had to be the controlling interest of that. And somehow they thought that they would be able to get large numbers of people showing up to, you know, be a part of whatever the hell they were thinking of doing, in July when the convention happened. And so there was a big fight. They did things like say, well, no, now we have taken over the whole setting up of the march and rally. They hadn't. We were operational, and they were just making believe. And we had been, you know, as I say, working on – some of us had been working on it year after year, and we had been working on it for, you know, we start in July. So 11 and a half months of working on it. And then they showed up in like May, maybe April, something like that, not long before the march happens. And so they wanted to take it all over, and we said no. And so they started saying, well, we are now in charge of it. And we had to go through a lot of gay media groups and say, no, this is not true. This is a lie they're putting out. And they even went to the Parks Commission. And, you know, you have to get permission from the Parks Commission to hold your event. And so basically they were able to leverage things so that we had what I refer to as the Long March in 1980. The Parks Department said, there's no traction here. There's no real leverage. If we don't give the guys who've always done this what they want, that's okay, because we can tell them, if you don't agree to us doing what we please, we're going to give it to your rivals over here. And so there was a whole bunch of back and forth, and eventually we managed to convince the Parks Department guy to basically say, yeah, okay, we're going to give you the permit. And we also got the permit from the city to march up Fifth Avenue. And so, and also at the end, the guy was something for leaving the lights on in Central Park. You know, it would be a bother for him to turn on and off the lights. Anyway, somebody turned them on and turned them off. So, Jesus Christ. Anyway, right at Fifth Avenue. What was it, 58th Street? Yeah, and they had some people there. And I was in front there, and they were saying, no, it's anti-left. Do what we order you to do. Don't go straight. Turn left at 58th. Strung people across Fifth Avenue to enter the park up to their alternate place. We saw that, and at first they got the front of the march with, it's hard to get this thing moving. And so they got a little bit at the front. The groups were at the front all the time in those days. A certain lesbian group in New York, and they led the other lesbian groups off in the side. So we had this going on. Head marshal sent a couple of people. The thing that really broke it was there was this car, and they knew the score, and they said, can't go through. Go through there. They said, get the hell out of our way. And they forced their way. We were shoving people, still chanting up there, you know, don't go straight, turn left at 58th. So I street, I guess, with the bullhorn, for as long as people kept coming up, involved in an attempt to screw up the march. You don't listen to people trying to screw everything up and get you off Fifth Avenue. Helped the people coming up to understand, but the official march people are saying, go up Fifth Avenue, don't hang left at 58th. And that worked. And, oh, boy. Later on, there were some press things, gay press things. One guy was interviewed, and he said, oh, no, our thing was real at Central Park at our site, then they got it theirs. We did have a bit of, I think, 100. Had to walk like an extra mile or more to go. And so they were saying, oh, we have all our people here. And the reporter reported, and this is written down in something nobody ever sees anymore, said, well, I don't see it. I was, oh, they're here. They're over there by the woods. They're by the bushes. You can't see them, but they're really there, and they're with us. And it was pathetic. In any event, so that was one thing we had with people trying to do stuff at the start of the march. We also had another time, homophobes with bad intentions, shall we say. And these, I think it was a street gang is what it was. And they were, you know, running around at the front of the march and saying things. And it looked like they wanted to, like, assault people. So at that point, we had what I referred to as the flying squad, which was a group that we could go deal with any emergency, and we dealt with them. They were also invited to leave and escorted a little ways off the march route, and they went away. I think they were rather surprised that people whom they thought were weak and unable to face up to them walked up, stared them in the face, and didn't say a word, but just pressed. And this is a very intimidating thing. And yeah, if somebody is inclined, they will start throwing punches at that point. If somebody has training and is in great physical shape at that point, probably the person throwing the punches is going to have physical problems. Anyway, these punks figured it out and left. And so we had problems in the old days with people trying this stuff. And unfortunately, something similar was allowed to happen this time. Sorry to see that, and I wish that hadn't happened. But there we go. The most recent Christopher Street Liberation Day March is in the books now. And sort of apropos to the cold opening that we did on this program, there are two people who are stuck on the International Space Station. Butch Gilmore and Suni Williams are two astronauts who went up there on a Boeing Starliner spacecraft. Whoops. Yeah, another Boeing incident here. At least their door panel didn't blow out in outer space. That part was good. But there are problems with their spacecraft, so they're stuck on the International Space Station while Boeing and NASA engineers try to figure out how to fix a series of helium leaks on the Boeing Starliner spacecraft. It was the first mission with a crew on it for the Starliner. Not a good start. They lifted off on June 5th and were supposed to come back on June 22nd. They're still up there. And I don't know, maybe they're going to become permanent residents of the International Space Station. Boeing and NASA are working to get them down, but oh man, this is a little bit of a messy thing here. NASA was hoping to have the Boeing Starliner as an alternate means of getting up there so that they weren't locked into only one way of getting up there. And, oh well, maybe it'll all work out nice. I hope it all works out nicely. But, geez, this is another one of these things that happens sometimes. Oh well. As I said, I wish the Supreme Court was stranded on the space station. The people in the space station probably wouldn't enjoy it, though. We've mentioned the spotted lanternfly before on this program. And, oh, man, we're going to talk a little bit more about it now. But first, here's this related to everything. I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations. Good vibrations. She's by my spotted lanternfly, of course, is an invasive insect. It's been running around like crazy. They have no natural enemies around here, and they reproduce like crazy, and they have devastated trees, grapevines, and other fruit crops, and the Pennsylvania State University is listing them as potentially the most destructive invasive insect in 150 years. It's a really bad thing. And so they're really looking for ways to deal with these things. Turns out they may have found something. There may be vibrations that attract them. And they have been studying these things, and they have found that in a laboratory setup, the spotted lanternflies detected and moved toward 60 hertz vibrations. 60 hertz vibrations is what you get with stuff in that you plug into the wall, into the power line, because our electricity grid is operating at 60 hertz, which means in the olden days, which would be 60 cycles per second, the direction the electricity flows in reverses 60 times per second. I won't go into why that's a good thing or whatever. That's what happens. And it turns out that the spotted lanternflies are attracted to this vibration. Now, one of the things that it's thought is that something like that is how they communicate with one another. And they do other things that make them very difficult to try and mess up. They gather into big, huge swarms called aggregations. And they're not necessarily something that's tied to mating. And so it makes it hard to get a hold of them and figure out what to do. Well, Now they're thinking that there might be a way to trap them by setting up some vibrations, maybe like a speaker hooked up. I mean, it's very easy to get a speaker to make that 60 hertz hum. Oh, I wonder if I should produce a 60 hertz hum. Let me see if I can produce a 60 hertz hum here. And you've probably heard this as a piece of annoyance in your life, although a 120 hertz hum is more like what you're going to hear because, well, I won't get into it. But a 60 hertz hum is not an unusual thing, and it's very easy to produce. In fact, there's a great deal of work that has been done in the world to try to filter out 60 and 120 hertz hums. But if they could, like, set up speakers with 60 hertz hum on them and get the spotted lantern flies to come to that, they could get them into a trap and kill maybe huge numbers of them and mitigate the pest that they are. This could be a very good new discovery here, because these damn things are destructive as hell.
Yes, they are, Arpal, but you know what? I have not seen any this summer the way we saw them last spring and summer, so I wonder what is going on.
Well, we did get one in the spring in the house, and you saw a swarm, didn't you?
Well, not a big swarm, just a few, but I have not seen any since. Last spring, they were walking around on the sidewalk as they were, I don't know what you call them, I don't know if they're neophytes, is that what you call them?
I have
nymphs,
no idea.
Or whatever. Holy cow. So I wonder what is going on.
Maybe it's just not late enough in the season. I think last year when you were talking about running into them, I think it was later in the summer.
Oh, well, perhaps I am confused about the time, and maybe they will show up. But
in any event, they're certainly making a mess in a lot of places.
Oh, yes. They're terrible.
Maybe there's a way to get rid of them now. And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. So, the Supreme Court. Oh, my godlessness. The right-wing supermajority in the Supreme Court is doing whatever on earth they please, doing what their right-wing sponsors want them to do, and wow, I mean, a lot of people are very concerned about the United States of America now because of the rulings coming out of these awful people. I mean, not everything is completely wrong. I mean, they ruled in favor of that 1994 federal ban on guns for people who were under restraining orders to stay away from their partners. And it was a case that involved a guy in Texas who was accused of hitting his girlfriend during an argument in a parking lot, and then he threatened to shoot her. And so there's a law that said, hey, you can't own a gun if you are under a restraining order like that. And so he went and appealed this, and that was an 8-1 vote. At least they could see that, I guess. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote for the majority saying, quote, since the founding, the nation's firearm laws have included regulations to stop individuals who threaten physical harm to others from misusing firearms, unquote. Right-wing Justice Clarence Thomas, who has been the most unyielding advocate for Second Amendment rights in the court, dissented, saying there was no historical precedent for banning those accused of domestic violence from owning guns. Oh, this is just a great guy, isn't he? I'm sure he's been paid off by the NRA or something. If the Supreme Court had overturned that law, it would have jeopardized the federal background check system, which the Biden administration says has stopped more than 75,000 gun sales in the past 25 years based on domestic violence protective orders. So, you know, maybe it wasn't necessary that they all be not allowed to own guns, but probably some lives got saved in there. So, yeah, there has to be some. I am not totally against guns. However, I am against total stupidity with or without guns. And it is total stupidity to have people saying, well, the Second Amendment says we get to have guns. That's it, period. No more argument. Nothing more about that. Everybody gets to have a gun. It's sort of like the old Saturday Night Live sketch they did once many years ago, where they would, it was a sketch, it wasn't for real, where they have them driving through the streets and they're holding guns in the back of a pickup truck and they say, with a bullhorn, show us your guns! And everybody in the street is pulling out guns. And it was to make fun of the NRA and the gun nuts. Yeah, Clarence Thomas is reminding me of that. Except he probably wouldn't understand that that was satire. And, of course, the Supreme Court has also ruled 6-3 that the charge of obstructing an official proceeding, something that was enacted in 2002 in response to the financial scandal that brought down the Enron Corporation, must include proof that the defendants tried to tamper with or destroy documents. Now, only some of the people who violently attacked the Capitol on January 6, 2021, fall into that category. A number of defendants have had their sentencings delayed until after the justices ruled on this matter. The ruling sends one insurrectionist case back to a lower court. The ruling may also relate to charges against Trump. And I think that's a major reason why the Supreme Court has made this interesting little ruling. And, oh, man, because they could say, well, Trump didn't destroy any documents. He sent people in to overthrow the government, to prevent the certification. That's not even certificate. It's already been certified. To prevent simply the recording in the congressional record of the results of the 2020 election. Because he lost it and he didn't want to lose it. And so this is just them catering to him again. They are his Supreme Court now. So one guy who sued, his case is going back to a lower court. But it's really going to do something probably about Trump himself. The Supreme Court doesn't care about that guy who sued. They care about Trump. And more than 1,400 people have been charged with federal crimes for their roles in the 2021 insurrection. Approximately 1,000 of those people have pleaded guilty or been convicted by a jury or a judge after a trial. So it's not as if there aren't any charges that can be made to stick. There are a lot of arrests, and those charges are sticking. The U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington said that no one who has been convicted of or charged with obstruction will be completely cleared because of the ruling, because every defendant also has other felony or misdemeanor charges. So it's not like a free ride for everybody. You get to get out of jail and all of that. Again, they care about Trump. They don't care about those minions. And about 50 people were convicted with obstruction being their only felony count. And of those, maybe 24 who are still serving their sentences might be affected by this ruling. So out of the 1,400, maybe like 24 people are really going to be affected by this ruling. 24 of the ordinary people who took part in the insurrection. The main insurrection guy is going to try to make it so that he, you know, he gets away with everything. And if he gets elected, he probably will get away with everything. And, oh, man, this is terrible stuff. Anyway, so the Supreme Court issued a big ruling on Trump being immune from prosecution on July 1st. I guess they really wanted to get out of town before they dropped that one. And, you know, Trump is their king. They want him as king. On the last program, I said, what are they going to do? Are they going to just not issue a ruling on this and tell us to wait until September and then delay it some more and then see if Trump gets reelected? And if he's reelected, then they wouldn't have to do much, you know, and they'll, oh, maybe that was it. I don't know. Or if he didn't get elected, they'd say, oh, yeah, the president can't do that. But if he gets elected, they'll say, oh, the president can do anything he pleases. Well, I was wrong about that, but they issued it on July 1st, and they're saying, yeah, they're saying that Trump gets to do whatever he pleases. And we have all of these, the dissents from other justices about this. Basically, the president is largely immune from any prosecution. And it's not perfect. It's not a perfect thing if he can do absolutely anything. But anything that he can claim is an official thing that he's doing as a part of his duties as president doesn't be prosecuted for. Now, to a degree, I can see that. Any president should have some immunity to not being sued or arrested for every decision he makes. So they grant presumptive immunity to former presidents. And there is dissent. Justice Sonia Sotomayor wrote that the decision was gravely misguided. And she says, quote, today's decision to grant former presidents criminal immunity reshapes the institution of the presidency. It makes a mockery of the principle foundational to our Constitution and system of government that no man is above the law. And others wrote similar things saying the president could order SEAL Team 6 to assassinate his political rivals and it would be okay. And gee whiz, that may very well be it. I mean, it sure looks like this. The president becomes a king with absolute power or very close to that. And so this is a gigantic problem. This is a horrible thing. And they're doing this for Trump, of course, because Trump has done some very bad things and they don't want him to get convicted. And I think there's still wiggle room in here left to convict Trump of some of this stuff, even with these lousy rulings. But they're certainly trying to make it like, you know, not only will he not be held, they will not want him held accountable for his wrongdoing, they want to make it so that if Trump gets reelected, he can actually murder people. I mean, remember when he was running in 2016, running for his first term, he said he's so popular he could stand in the middle of Fifth Avenue with everybody looking and shoot and kill somebody and nothing would happen to him. He really thinks that way. He's been thinking about that way, and he certainly thinks that way now that the Supreme Court has backed him up on that. On the other hand, they do say, well, regarding presumptive immunity, you know, the courts have to decide, but this is certainly going to, if Trump gets reelected, this is certainly going to empower him to do whatever he pleases. And, you know, he's not going to say, oh, I wonder if the Supreme Court won't let me go this far. He won't bother with that. He will go and get people. He's already said his first day in office, he will be a dictator and get revenge on his enemies. He's not going to stop at one day. I think that's true. He will try that stuff. He won't stop at one day. That will be the entire time he's in office. Who knows how long that will be? He may decide, we don't need elections anymore. I got elected. Here I am. The hell with the 22nd Amendment that says you can't serve more than two terms. I'm just going to keep going. And if my second term lasts 20 years, that's okay. Well, it's 20 years. He ain't going to live that long. You know, then it's okay. I can just keep on going. And, you know, then he'll put things in place for another right-wing dictatorship to follow him. This is amazingly bad. It goes against what, as Sotomayor said, the founding principles of the United States of America, that nobody is above the law. And now the Supreme Court says that one guy is. And I don't know, maybe, you know, what happens if Biden decides, hey, I want to test this. He could, you know, order the military to drop a bomb on some billionaire's yacht. And if Clarence Thomas happens to be sitting in it, well, ha, 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 there's nothing you can do about it, Clarence. So, you know, that would be his official duty. He's in charge of the military. He can send troops places and say, bomb that. And he can do that. So how could he be prosecuted then? What if he decided to do that to all six right-wing Supreme Court justices? This is he would be immune, they say, on the Supreme Court. Maybe that would be, you know, poetic justice there. But this is a terrible decision. It's awful, and it's one of the worst things to have happened for America in quite a good long while here. Trump is their king. And, oh boy, I don't want him as king. I hope he doesn't become king in November. If he gets elected, he will be king. He will. I mean, we saw what he did when he was just an ordinary president. Now, with this ruling, he will feel like, yeah, I can just set up camps somewhere and send my political rivals there. He'll call everybody communists and send them there. Oh, well, we're going to see how this goes, too, I suppose.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
So, President Biden is there, and he's got this problem where he was flubbing some things and just stood there for a second with his, sort of like Robbie the Robot in Forbidden Planet, when he's told to shoot somebody and kill him, and all of a sudden his circuits start, you know, flipping around, and you get sparks going, and Walter Pigeon says, oh, you know, you can stop now. And he tells people, hey, if I had let him go on like that, he would have burned out all of his circuits, you know, because he can't do this. And this is sort of like what Biden was doing. He had a bad night, and that's what happened. And he needs to not drop out. Biden needs to hang in there, and the chicken-hearted Democrats need to shut up and stop trying to do Trump's work for him. Geez, a lot of people in politics are cowards, and some of these people are showing up doing it here. So, yeah, if Biden dropped out, he would give the MAGA creeps a lot of momentum. And who would the Democrats be able to get to run? Remember the Will Rogers statement from, oh God, what, that's like 90 years ago or more? Will Rogers said, I'm not a member of any organized political party. I'm a Democrat. Well, that still holds. The Democrats, if you throw this thing open, it's going to be fighting back and forth, and that idiot Kennedy will try to get himself wedged in there, a surefire loser, and other people will try to get in. You know, there's a lot of ego in politics, too. Yes, there's cowardice and ego in politics. I'm sure this shocks everyone to hear that news. And so people will be vying for it. Oh, Jesus Christ. Biden needs to stay in, and other people need to stop bugging him about it. I mean, Biden did what he did because he was trying to muster remarks to refute Trump's lies. But it's so much easier just to lie, especially when you're so used to it, than it is to refute blatant, obvious lies and utterly crazy claims. I mean, I know about having to do that kind of things. Did I mention there's an election for people on the local station board going on in Pacifica? Oh, well, I can't say any details about that. But I know what it's like to try and refute the claims, phony claims of people. And Biden's mistake was to be detailed about it. When you're detailed about it, you say, okay, so he said, he said 10 different things, and you start going down the list. You don't just blurt out the first one, which is really what he should have done, is say, okay, first thing he said was wrong, bang, and go after it. Maybe do a second one, and that's it, and say the rest is lies too. But I'm sure Biden started saying, ticking off all of the lies and getting ready so that he could deliver a whole speech on it, and he just got bogged down because it's so much easier to tell lies than to say, oh no, that's wrong because of XYZ. Yeah, and that's what happened there. And yes, old age has problems with distraction. I know that personally. So this is something that's going on here, and Biden needs to stay in there. Next time, he needs to not try to refute all that stuff that Trump says. Just call him a liar and say something that you've got prepared and leave it at that. Don't try to go down the list of all the crap he says.
Amen, brother.
It's hot. It's steamy. Sometimes it's raining. Everybody's uncomfortable. Oh, what's that coming around? Oh, it's the WBAI pitching train to make you more uncomfortable. Is there anything else besides the pitching train that could make you even more uncomfortable than that? Oh, yes, there is. The pitching hobos. Yes, we are the pitching hobos, and we are here to ask you to support listener-sponsored, non-commercial WBAI. Yes, this is WBAI New York, and we're asking you to support this radio station. We do not have commercials. We have to rely on you, the listeners, to support us. We are behind in bills. We have a tower rent we have to pay because that's how you get the signal. We have to put our transmitter someplace, and it needs an antenna, and that means the tower at 4 Times Square. We also have to pay rent on the studios at 388 Atlantic Avenue, and we've got people who need to be paid so they can keep coming to work at WBAI. Plus, there are other bills as well. We need you to pledge some amount of money. It would be good if you could become a BAI buddy. And we're going to ask you to go to WBAI.org. When you get to WBAI.org, you will see below the upcoming programs stuff something that says, BAI buddy, become a sustaining member. You will see that on an image of a black dove on a green background, and it will say, BAI buddy, become a sustaining member. BAI buddy is a name we have for sustaining members. What you do is you become a BAI buddy, and you will basically donate on a monthly basis to WBAI. You could donate $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you can afford it. And you can do all of that, and you'll be helping us out. Yes, WBAI.org is where to go. Yeah, the phone number, there are so many problems with that thing right now. We're just not using it. We're asking everybody to go to WBAI.org and pledge there. And you could also send a check. You should send a check, and somebody asked us about this. You can send a check. That'll be a one-time donation, I guess. Write it to Back of the Book, care of WBAI, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. On the check, you make the check out to Pacifica/WBAI, and you write in the memo for Back of the Book. Now, we don't get the money. What we get is credit for having listeners. That's the deal. And management is still looking to see who can raise money, who has listeners at all. And some management have in the past claimed this program has zero listeners. We know that's not true. We know that some of you do support the radio station. We need more of you to support us. And, you know, the check you send in can be just any amount you please, because you're probably going to do it one time. If you want to become a BAI buddy, though, you must go to WBAI.org. And again, go down to where it says BAI buddy, become a sustaining member. And when you get there, there's basically a form to fill out, and you fill it out. Please, if you do it that way, make sure you choose Back of the Book as your favorite program. Now, favorite program, we had a staff meeting about this, and some listeners complain, well, it's not my favorite program, but I want to donate. Okay, they're going to try and change that if they can to say, you know, what program you want to donate in the name of. It doesn't have to be your favorite. So they're going to try and change that. So it doesn't mean it's your favorite and therefore, you know, whatever that would mean. I don't know what that means. So basically, we are asking you to go to WBAI.org and click on that dove with the green background. And if you can become a BAI buddy, that would be really good, because then you're making a monthly donation. And you can choose when you get billed. You just fill out the form. And you're not filling out a form on a WBAI website at that point. You're filling out a form on a professional website that is set up to take credit card donations, credit card and debit card donations. So don't worry about, you know, geez, do I want to trust BAI people with my credit card number? You're not doing that. You're doing it to professionals, not us. So, again, if you want to send it to a check-in, you write back of the book at the on your envelope, send it to Back of the Book, and you're only writing that so that they'll say, yeah, okay, this is a donation for Back of the Book. If you want to write to me, write an email to rpm@glib.com, because anything you send in, we tell management what we're doing. So anything you send in, it says Back of the Book at the top of the envelope, they're going to say, oh, this is a donation. And so they're going to open it up and look for a check. So if you send me, you know, your recipe for sweet potatoes or something, I'm never going to get it. Send your recipes for sweet potatoes to rpm@glib.com. Anyway, I'm trying to do this and do it without a phone number. This feels very strange to not have a phone number to hawk. WBAI.org. Please go there and click on that black dove with the green background where it says BAI buddy, become a sustaining member. Please do that. And they'll say, you know, how much do you want to donate, and all the information you got to give them. And when you get to favorite program, even if we're not your favorite program, say that is it. They don't care. They're not caring whose favorite program. It could say, you know, a fish dinner and Memison right there. And it would not matter. They don't pay attention to that. They just say, is there a program named? And that's all they care about. So that would help us a lot if you would do that. Okay. I was about to get the phone number again. I can't do that. WBAI.org. And please do that. We would hope you would do that and help us and keep everything going on here at this very strange place. We will thank you if you do. That's been it for Back of the Book for this week. We're scheduled to be on next week, so we'll see you then. We figured coming up next is
Everything Old is New Again, Again with Mr. David Kenny.
Again, David Kenny. So we should be back here next week, and we're going to have some hot weather. It's July, and we'll all try to live through that. Take care of yourselves, and above all, remember what that wishing we could put the right-wing majority of the Supreme Court into outer space, Dormouse said.
moment here. It's a moment where we have a chance to actually demonstrate our power.
Imhotep Gary Bird heard on WBAI Friday evenings from 7 to 9 p.m.
I learned from Dr. Walter Fauntroy, who fought with Dr. King in the civil rights movement, that there were five areas that they identified that they felt politics could control and hit. It was health, housing, education, economics, and social justice. The fact is, WBAI is a nexus for the progressive community to make those changes in all of those areas and has been decade after decade. I say to you again, whose station?
Our station!
Whose control?
Our control!
Long live WBAI.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
Mother, this radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
All mixed up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We'd kill ourselves!
You remember the buddy system. Every summer field trip. Every time you jumped into the deep end. Every time you got on a roller coaster. You buddied up. And though that may all seem like 100 summers ago, wouldn't it be nice to have that feeling of buddying up one more time? Because life is always better with a buddy.
The 53rd Annual International African Arts Festival is set to take place at Commodore Barry Park in Brooklyn from July 4th to July 7th. This highly anticipated event celebrates the rich diversity and excellence of African culture through a vibrant showcase of arts, fashion, music, dance, and more. From a dedicated children's play zone to captivating poetry shows, fashion, and natural hair shows, and chess tournaments. There is something for everyone at this year's festival. The International African Arts Festival will take place at Commodore Barry Park, bordered at Navy Street, Park, and Flushing Avenues from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m., rain or shine. For more information about the International African Arts Festival, please visit iaafestival.org. That's iaafestival.org.